guys. Welcome to the third episode of the Pretty Vulgar Podcast. This is Elizabeth and Jillian, and we are so happy to be doing our third episode. And before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, who has liked and subscribed our podcast and gave us a five-star rating. It really means a lot to us. And I just want to say thank you. We appreciate you.
Yes, thank you to all those listeners, everyone who's tuned in, everyone who's subscribed, everyone who's rated. Those of you who haven't, do it. Do it now.
Yes.
Do it now. Now do it now.
Now. Listen to Jillian. Do it.
So last week we had off, so we're just going to jump right into it. We got a lot to discuss. So the biggest pop culture, it's kind of been a slow pop culture week. Mm-hmm. So, given that, one of the big pop culture stories was, of course, the Bill Cosby verdict.
Right.
So, the jury came back hung, which means they are going to try this case again.
I don't even know how they're going to be able to try it again. I just don't know how that's going to receive a different outcome.
Well, the case was honestly the weakest one that they, I mean, they only had a select few that they could actually try.
Right.
And this one just was weaker because she contacted him after, and there were all this circumstantial evidence that, you know, really in a juror's mind could lead them to believe that despite everything they've heard about Bill Cosby, that he was in fact not guilty. So, you know, now he's a free man. He's teaching classes on how not to get accused of sexual assault or what to do if you are wrongfully, and I'm using air quotes that you cannot see, but if you're wrongfully accused of sexual assault. So he's basically teaching classes on how to be a pervert.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most bizarre, creepy, and really horrific thing out there. I mean, this man has been accused by, what, hundreds now?
Yes. Feels like hundreds if it's not hundreds.
I mean, of women who are like, oh yeah, he roofied me and, you know, molested me or raped me. And I mean, that's horrifying. And now he's teaching other men, hey, this is how you don't get caught.
It's like exactly like that OJ book, the book OJ wrote in jail, that if I did it, this is how I would have done it.
Exactly, but he's being stupid because he can still be retried for this crime.
Exactly. So you're exactly right.
So he can slip up and say something crazy. I don't know what he's thinking. He's lost his damn mind.
Well, that goes without saying. So kudos to you, Bill Cosby. Good luck in your new career as Perv trainer in chief. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the title. I like it. We're going with that.
Can't touch that with a 10-foot stick. So
exactly.
Moving on, another big issue that's kind of rolled out over the next 2 weeks, which, you know, Elizabeth is our resident expert in, is the Bachelor in Paradise issue.
Yay! So guys, I have really great news. They are going to be filming. Well, they're already there, actually. They have started filming. Warner Brothers did an investigation and found that there was no misconduct. So this alleged story that DeMario picked up an unconscious and limp Corinne and laid her on the cement next to the hot pool and did nefarious acts with her while she was unconscious is supposedly untrue. Supposedly the film shows that this didn't happen. So they said mazel, and we are going to film again, but with stipulations. You can only have 2 drinks per hour, which I want to know how they're keeping track of this. Do you have a punch card there? You're like, they're these 25 to 35 year old men and women with punch cards.
In my mind, I see it more as like an EBT system. They give you your food stamps, and you go to the bar and you swipe your little EBT card, and once you've hit that limit, they're like, no, sorry, no more government cheese for you.
No more government alcohol. And also, you have to ask permission from a producer if you'd like to partake in sexual activities with another contestant.
Which is mind-blowing. That seems like that would fuck up the whole flow of the show.
Well, you know what's funny is their contestants from last year, Lace and Grant, they talked about how they would constantly sneak around and have sex in weird places, like in the middle of filming, they would run off and behind a bush and bang real quick, and they would run off and outside the bathroom and have sex, and they'd run off down the beach and find a way to have sex. They said they had sex all over the place. So I'm just like, how are you gonna ask permission? And you're in the moment, you're getting lovely with your significant
other. A little hot and heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you say, no, no, we have to get production's consent. Like, I don't know how that's going to work.
That always reminds me of the Dave Chappelle skit from the Chappelle Show where they had the love contract.
Mm. Yeah.
The exact same thing. Like, heat of the moment, whip out the clipboard, get the lawyers in, like, get it reviewed, get it done.
Exactly. I mean, I'm really super excited. I love that show. It's The Bachelorette and Bachelor on crack. It's amazing. And I can't wait to watch. So we'll see what happens and what surprises they have in store for us.
Well, Corinne is not coming back, though.
She is not. She has been quiet on her social media accounts as of late. I don't know what's in store for her. Maybe suing. I don't know. I feel like...
I don't know. She also had that alleged boyfriend that came out. That's and true. Was saying, like, our relationship is our relationship, and I'm going to believe what I'm going to believe, mm-hmm. and I don't listen to anyone, and it didn't really make any sense to me, but maybe I thought maybe it would make some sense to you.
No, because she went on the show, The Bachelor show, with Nick's season, and portrayed herself to be single, so I'm not sure why she has this mysterious boyfriend. Where is he coming from?
Yeah,
who is he? I don't know. But regardless, I'm super excited. Bachelor in Paradise is filming, so we'll be talking about that later on.
So in other news, regarding TV shows, Pretty Little Liars has just come to an end. This is the pinnacle of teenage drama that, for whatever reason, the 30-plus crowd just beats mm-hmm. up. It's just like cocaine.
Because it's so good. It's just... They've got hot guys on it. They've got pretty girls.
It's like a good old-fashioned thriller. You're like, what's going to happen next? Who's going to come out of nowhere? Like, mm-hmm. you sit on the edge of your seat a little bit, which is nice.
For sure. And I will say, I do know how it ends. Jillian does not.
It's true. I'm being good. Like, it's almost impossible to avoid spoilers this day and age. But
it's so
I have, like, six episodes to catch up. My husband and I watched two of them last night. We just got to blow through the rest of them.
Well, I have to say, the ending I felt was fine. The twist worked for me. I didn't feel like it was, you know, you see some movies or shows and you're like, that was the twist? Are you kidding me? We can talk about Gossip Girl, Dan Humphries being...
Yeah.
Gossip Girl. No, that never worked for me.
Yeah,
but
no.
This I could see working. So I feel like they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, and speaking of Dan Humphrey, Penn Badgley is making his TV comeback on the Lifetime Network. You know, we're a fan of Lifetime over here.
Yes.
He's essentially playing Dan Humphrey. He's mm-hmm. playing some bookstore owner that becomes obsessed with one of his clients and cyber stalks her and... removes anything that comes in the way of his love. Sounds a little like Gossip Girl.
It is Gossip Girl. It's totally Gossip Girl. And
but it's going to have that Lifetime twist, which I'm excited about. People are going to die. Gossip Girl didn't have that much death.
No, that's so true. I mean, I hope it has the Lifetime twists of death and craziness. But why is he doing Lifetime? I want to know. Like, what is that?
You know, what else is he going to do these days? Like, he's not...
Well, that's true. And I mean,
a great actor by any means.
And he's super unattractive with that crazy hair when he lets it get all curly and mm-hmm. it comes out towards the front like a...
Yeah, like a Jerry curl on crack. It's not good.
I just don't understand it. Like, get a haircut, dude. Now.
And further on Gossip Girl news, there was the first joint interview today of... what's his name? Mike? I have such a hard time with Adam Brody's name. I don't know why. Like, it just escapes me because he hasn't been relevant since 2004.
Yeah, no.
But Adam Brody, Leighton Meester, Blair Waldorf, Seth Cohen, they're married. They did a joint interview today. It's the first joint interview that they've done together. And, of course, the person's like, ah, Seth Cohen and Blair Waldorf, they're married in real life. How cute. Like, everyone's teenage dream comes true. And they're like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, we don't give a shit. But, like... We're cool that you give a shit, but we don't give a shit. And that was essentially the highlight of that interview, in case you missed it.
Well, I don't think that is the teenage dream. I was happy that Blair and Chuck ended up together.
Yeah, like, it's not, honestly.
You can't do that crossover.
It's not even the same show. Like, the OC came out way before Gossip Girl.
Blair would never, ever, ever have given him a second look on Gossip Girl. If we're talking, you know, fantasy, figurative characters off in La La Land, Blair liked her Upper East Side, rich as fuck, classy Manhattan men.
But in all fairness, and you did not watch The OC, but I was an OC aficionado. That's why I went to college in The OC, and my whole family moved to Orange County. But Seth Cohen, A, was rich. He was outstandingly wealthy.
But his dad was rich.
His mom was rich.
Okay,
his
whatever.
His dad was like a public defender or some shit like that.
Oh, God.
But.
No, but he, but Chuck was actually rich.
Well, that's true. That's true. And Chuck. But Seth also got the Blair Waldorf of The OC.
No, no.
He married her and they had children and the 20-year flash-up and.
Now, Blair Waldorf is in a world all her own. And I feel like the chemistry between Chuck and Blair, my God. They were my favorite. They still are. They're still
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So, other things that are coming to your small screen soon are Famously Single, too.
Woo woo.
For those of you who don't know what this is, it's an E! Network show where people who are famous, again, using air quotes because these people are not famous, get together, and it's kind of like The Bachelor for, like, D-list celebrities. So on this season, you got Ronnie from Jersey Shore, you got Malika, Khloe Kardashian's best friend, and you have like Dorothy from Hashtag. Any show that starts with Hashtag is like terrible to begin with, but Hashtag Rich Kids of Beverly Hills. Like, who even gives a fuck about these people?
Well, I will agree, these people are very D-list, and they get therapy on the show. And they do.
Oh.
Yes. They have,
okay.
Yeah, they have a therapist on the show, and they do exercises in order to expand their thought process and deal with their issues behind dating. So, I watched the season before that, and there was a hot soccer player on there named Cullen Best. So sexy, covered in tattoos, muscles, had that English accent going, and that was the season that Miss Brandi Glanville was on there before she... Yeah, exactly. And they had a little thing on the show. Obviously, they didn't end up together because they both have crazy fucking issues. But nonetheless, it's a good show. It's worth watch. I find it interesting. The therapist seems to really care. I'm using air quotes as well about these people because... I mean, she's paid to care, and she's on TV. But it's worth a watch. It's entertaining.
Okay, so that's coming to a silver screen near you. Some Jersey Shore reunion is happening. Now, Elizabeth is totally over Jersey Shore.
I am, I'm done.
So 5 years ago, I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
I still love them. They still have a place in my heart that no one can touch.
I'm just over them. Like, I remember when Jersey Shore first came out on MTV. Like, my mom and I used to watch it when no one watched it.
Right.
And people were like, you've watched that show? And I was like, hell yeah, I watched the show. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
And then it stopped being great.
You know, I can't wait to see what they do. I'm a little interested to see that, you know, Mike the Situation is back because, you know, the Situation is...
Wasn't he in rehab?
He was in rehab. He's being, like, sued by the federal government for tax evasion. He's like a God. Fucking winner, the Situation. The Situation is he's a situation. Like,
he needs to do this reunion so he can get money to give to, you know...
The fucking Uncle Sam. Yeah, what he needs.
Uncle Sam's coming knocking.
So, stay tuned to that. We don't know exactly what that is or what that looks like yet, but that's coming soon to some kind of screen. It could be the big screen. Who even knows these days?
Oh, God. Please don't want to come to a theater.
And then the last on the general pop culture list is this shocker of an interview that Lamar Odom did with Wendy Williams. So, we all know that, you know, the last couple of years have been very trying for Lamar Odom. He went to the brothel in Nevada and had all sorts of issues where he came out unconscious and dead.
And paralyzed.
And just dead. He's dead.
Yeah.
And he has lived and he has made a miraculous recovery. And mm-hmm. I hope to God that he is staying sober and staying with it. But this interview freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah, because it was, first of all, it was super awkward. Like, it felt so awkward. And then every time Wendy Williams is like, we have a fact-based information that you had cocaine in your system. Lamar Odom's like, nope, didn't have cocaine. I think God was just trying to wake me up.
Yeah, he legitimately said he didn't have drugs in his system. He didn't have alcohol in his system.
Excuse me, God did not paralyze you. The cocaine, the alcohol, and probably the copious amount of sex you were having with these dirty hookers.
That's what did it.
That's what gave...
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but that's what did it.
Yeah, if you type those things into Google or WebMD, you will come up... Dead. Paralyzed, a coma, dead.
Dead.
That's what'll happen.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So Lamar Odom thinks God did this to him.
No, God didn't do
he,
this.
I mean, the fact that he is able to look at these scientific reports, that the toxicology reports that say, you had coke, you had a blood alcohol level of XYZ, and be like, nah, didn't happen, never happened, I'm here, obviously that didn't happen. Like, woohoo. That is next level crazy. I think, obviously, there's some brain damage there. But, like, oh, man. Oh, Mr. Odom, get that help, please.
Well,
like,
seriously, and God did that? No, God didn't do that. You sniffed up the cocaine or whatever you do to ingest it.
It was God. God possessed his body.
Well, shit.
I mean, I think it would be more the devil of anything, but that's, I mean, we're getting into semantics and religion. That's like a whole different discussion. Yeah. I'm just saying, Lamar Odom, you cray.
He is very crazy.
So, Housewives news. Bethany started filming Shark Tank. She's like BFFs with Mark Cuban now. Like, she was snapping and Instagramming up a storm of that, yeah. on the set. So, it'll be really interesting to see how she interacts with this cast. Like, it's interesting to see her be accepted as a business person.
Well, I think she'll do phenomenal. I think she's a very shrewd, very smart businesswoman.
Oh, clearly.
I mean, she didn't become a billionaire by, you know, not being intelligent, not making...
I mean, her business is failing, though, Ramona Singer told me.
Oh, yes, Ramona, because she's got her facts straight. But yeah, I think that she'll do really great, and I also saw her do a segment on the Rachel Ray Show a couple years ago where people came and pitched her business ideas, and she gave really sound advice, and she seemed to really want them to succeed, and I like seeing that. I like seeing people pay it forward, and... I think she'll shine on the show. I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good. So I think it's great. So I'm excited for that. Next, Matt Jordan. We all know Matt Jordan as Kenya Moore's ex-boyfriend last season of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Did she hire this one too?
Well, that was an allegation, is that she hired him. He's like 15 years her junior. And he was like her personal trainer or worked at the gym she worked out at or something. I don't know. It was very strange how they got together. But that's fine. They made a very cute couple until he came over and started busting the windows out of her house and her car.
Oh, no, no, no.
Like slapping people and like just being super aggressive for like no reason. We've all seen the video of him and Peter. Like it's just all crazy.
Oh, I love Peter.
So, yeah, who doesn't love Peter? He's a straight shooter, that one.
And he's so sexy.
He's like a silver fox.
He is a silver fox, and he just has that smile. Cynthia Bailey, what were you thinking? Make it work with him. Make it work.
That's our message to you, Cynthia Bailey. Get Peter back.
I like it.
So, Matt has a reaction, obviously, to his queen getting married, and that is that all these false allegations and embarrassing moments he experienced on the show, he went through all this for her. First of all, false allegations. We all saw him break out the windows and get blood all over and slap people. So I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. But he goes on and on and on and to say, you know, I lost my queen and to find out this way, I'm so emotionally distraught. And so as a gift to him, Kenya got him a very nice restraining order.
She's like, bitch, stay
She's
away.
She's like, just don't talk to me, don't touch me, don't look at me, don't think about me. We are fucking done.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to play out. I sincerely doubt we'll see Matt Jordan again on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Maybe we'll see some of this play out. I mean, this is just, this is why Atlanta's the best. It's just next level crazy all the time.
I love Atlanta, and it gives me life. So, yeah, I'm excited for what the new season has to bring.
Speaking of new seasons, July 10th starts, you know, the next great season of Real Housewives of Orange County. And in order to prepare, Tamara did a little interview with the HuffPo. Mm-hmm. And in that interview, she was like, Vicky and I, we are not friends. If we did not film together, there's no reason for us to talk together. But interestingly enough, these are the people I am friends with. Shannon, duh, blah, blah, blah. Megan, okay, I get it. I have been and have remained friends with Lydia.
Yeah, that's fucking weird. Weird. Like, Lydia, she brought nothing to the show. I don't even know why she's coming back.
I can't even imagine why she's coming back.
She brought nothing to the show. She was super annoying. And, ugh. No. I don't like her on the show at all.
Yeah, I just don't see a point to it. But I find it really interesting that of all the housewives that she could have named, she could have said Heather Dubrow, she could have said all these people, Lydia is the person. She's like, yeah, I've always been really close to Lydia. Like, we get along so great. We talk about Jesus jugs. Like, I mean, that's another thing. Tamara was so, like, you know, an enemy to Alexis, who's mm-hmm. Lydia's BFF. Like, how are they such close friends? I'm just confused by it, I think.
That's bullshit. I don't know. It's weird. It weirds me out, for sure.
Oh, for sure. So I think that's interesting. And then I was watching Andy Cohen's Then and Now, and at the end of each episode, he does, like, this segment he calls Revelations, where people, like, tell secrets regarding mm-hmm. the episode. And the episode was the super wealthy 1980s to and today, and they were talking about prenups, because in the 1980s, a lot of people didn't have prenups,
right?
And really wealthy people lost billions of dollars in mm-hmm. divorces. So his revelations was speaking specifically to housewives about who had prenups, what the prenup said, blah, blah, blah. And I found it really interesting. Out of all the housewives that he spoke to, the only one that even had a prenup was Candy. Like, he spoke to Shannon, no prenup. He spoke to Kyle, no prenup.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to Lisa Vanderpump, no prenup. He spoke to Camille Grammer, who married Kelsey Grammer after he was Fraser Crane, after he had mm-hmm. made millions of dollars. She walked away with $112 million, no prenup. Erica Girardi. Tom Girardi doesn't have a prenup. He's like the fucking world's super powerful lawyer man.
That's true. And, I mean, that is surprising. But I will say with Kyle and Mauricio, they had nothing when they got together.
And that's what she said.
Yeah, and then also, who else? Lisa Vanderpump and...
Ken,
thank you. I totally spaced him. They didn't have anything when they first got together either. So they built their empire together. But I mean, Kelsey Grammer, that surprises me because, like you said, he was ouch, sorry, guys. Real life happening right now.
That's what's great about the podcast. It waits for no one. Life happens.
Just hit my elbow. Okay. Kelsey Grammer was already famous and very wealthy, and he was just like, come on. You can have all this money if we ever get divorced. Like,
it's so obscene to me. I mean, it's crazy.
It's interesting. But good for those women, just in case. You know, they get a divorce. Good for them.
I mean, it was really funny because Kyle was like, if I got divorced right now and I married someone who had less money than me, I'd get a prenup. But if they had more money than me, I would not get a prenup.
I mean.
I was like, I like your style, lady.
Me too. I'm with that. So.
So with that, there was no Potomac this week. But
thank
since
God.
Since we missed last week's podcast because I was on the tropical islands of Hawaii,
yes.
We will delve into the Potomac of last week's, June 18th's Potomac.
Which was boring as hell.
Well, you know, it's almost over, so next week's the season finale. We'll see if there's any fireworks.
Thank God.
This episode was called the Grand Dam Slam.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And it started off, they're still in Bermuda. I thought, you know, for sure they'd been gone from Bermuda for, like, years. It seems like years they've been in Bermuda.
I told you, you get lost in Bermuda.
No joke.
You get there and you're not coming out.
So, like, Charisse and Robin and Ashley are riding a bus to wherever the yacht they're going on for dinner or whatever. And they're all giving Ashley a hard time because she's got this flip phone as her overseas phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what? With all your money, you have a flip phone? You're a millennial? That's weird. And so they're pretty much just saying, like, it's all Michael's money and he holds the purse strings and you're an idiot.
I mean, that's probably true to a certain extent. I mean, I love flip phones. I'm not going to lie. The pink Razor phone, I had that when it was popular. I mean, I was one of the first people to have one of those phones among my friends. Loved it. I feel like I have it in a box in my parents' garage somewhere. Like, saved it for memory purposes. So they need to leave her alone about the flip phone.
Yeah,
but
I think that was just an unnecessary thing because I don't think it really tied into anything for the rest of the show.
No.
Like, later on in the episode, Ashley does go into a meeting with Michael where he says, you know, he essentially says, I don't want you to be the manager of the restaurant anymore. Just be the owner so that we can focus on our marriage.
Ugh.
If that's what they were going for with tying into the cell phone and the purse strings, they didn't do it very well.
No.
But that's the only correlation I could see.
Yeah, I feel like that was a waste of 5 minutes of our lives.
Well, yeah, and then Robin goes to recount, like, her conversation with Karen, which didn't really illuminate anything because we had just allegedly seen it. So it was like, it didn't add anything.
They're just talking about the same shit over and over and over again, which isn't exciting shit, so it's pointless.
Well, exactly. So then they go to this yacht, and Charisse is like, yeah, I called around to see where the elite of Bermuda hang out, and they hang out on this yacht and they do a dinner cruise. And I was like, bitch, you could do that for like $49.99 in Newport Harbor and Ventura Harbor.
Oh, for sure.
I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about, that this is where the elite of Bermuda hang out. Like, any fucking body of water has some kind of dinner cruise you can take.
It's so true. We've been on one.
Yeah, we went to a wedding on one. So, like, there's been several variations. I've done it in New York. I've been to weddings. Like, anyone can do it. This isn't what elite people do.
No. She's crazy. She wants to sound so much more
amazing. Yeah, like, it's insane to me. Like, she's like, this is where the elite hang out. I'm like, it's a bunch of fucking dudes that are paying to go on a boat. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. No.
So, like, during that scene, they, like, are forcing Robin on some weird man who's talking about his sex injuries and shaving his legs. And she's like, I don't want to be around you. And I can't blame her.
No, no woman wants a man who shaves their legs at all. That's, first of all, that's like Ronnie from Jersey Shore. Full circle right there, guys.
Full circle.
But yeah, no, no one wants a man who shaves his legs. Why are you shaving your legs? You leave the hair on there.
I don't know. And then the sex injuries, and like, if she's gonna, her homework is to go on a date. This is not the way to effectuate that, because that's not working. Like,
no. Yeah, I mean, I've been pushed on weird situations too, and it's never fun.
I mean, you've definitely had some strange dating experiences, and that could be a whole nother series.
I mean, maybe
of podcasting.
Maybe we'll branch off into the dating life of Elizabeth. I mean, I haven't gone on a date in a long time, guys.
Well, it's true, but they're, you know.
But in the past, there's been some really crazy.
The waiter
ones.
That really liked to rub your feet. I mean, these are just examples. Oh. So, moving on.
Moving forward. Real Housewives, guys. Real Housewives.
So all the ladies are telling, like, Karen gets on the boat. They all get on the boat. And everyone's telling Karen, you gotta communicate. Like, it was really rude that you didn't communicate that you were going to this other fucking boating thing. And. You gotta communicate, and Karen's, like, not having it.
I saw a picture of Karen, and she legitimately looks like the Crypt Keeper to me.
She always looks so crazy, like, she has the craziest hair and makeup, and she just looks really old, and I don't even think, I'm not even positive that she's entered her 60s yet.
No.
But she looks like she's entering 75.
Yeah, for sure. It's ridiculous. I'm like, what is happening? You're on national television. If I'm on national television, you better make sure I'm looking good.
Well, and I think that's what she wanted, but it just doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
So, and the interesting thing I wanted to know is, you went from day one where Giselle was wearing hot pink shorts and gladiator sandals and stuff like that, to her getting on this yacht and then being the best dress. She went from the worst dress to the best dress. I don't know what's with these ladies and why they can't put an outfit together.
I don't know.
But when you have the same person go from worst dress to best dress in the same vacation,
it's weird.
It's a little fucking crazy, and I don't understand it. But I just wanted to point that out, that she literally went from 0 to 100. Like, her on the boat, she was wearing the blazer. It was super cute. But, like, Jesus. Anyway.
Right. No, I agree. It's very strange. It's like her stylist worked for her for one day, and then she decided to put an
she
outfit together herself.
So then, of course, we enter Karen and Charisse, the fight part 72.
It's not even a fight anymore. It's rehashing, restating, just saying the same words over and over.
And then
again.
They just get kind of like snooty. Like, Charisse is like, this entire event costs more than your net worth.
Oh.
Your $49.99 dinner cruise did not cost more than anyone's net worth. Like, come on. I can work at McDonald's and have a net worth greater than your $49.99 dinner cruise. So, like, that's not true. Even an insult. I don't understand.
That is true.
So, like, I mean, I don't even want to talk about this anymore because it's so dull.
I agree. It's so boring. I mean, I can't wait for it to be over so we never have to utter the words Potomac again.
Exactly. I mean, really. So then, like, they get off the boat, they go back to the rooms. Charisse goes to one room with all the girls except for Monique, who goes to Karen's room, and they go blah blah blah. We're gonna talk about the same shit over and over and over again. We can't even, like, they don't even, at least in New York, when we talk about Tom every time, there's like a slight development or there's like something new, and even though that gets dull too, it's like interesting. This is not that.
No,
this is just rehashing the same shit
literally
over and over and over again.
Literally the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. So, like, the next day they go to a cricket match, which is not something. I mean, like, I like sports and I really like baseball, and I know cricket is a little like baseball. But I would never go to Bermuda and be like, let's go to a cricket match.
What is cricket?
It's literally like weird baseball where they don't run the bases. They just hit balls at each other.
I was thinking of Pretty Woman when Richard Gere takes her to the polo field.
Yeah, and that's exactly what those girls were thinking too. I wrote that down. Like they were like, oh, it's on a horse and you wear big floppy hats. And I was like, no, that's polo. But
now that's something I'd be down to go to.
Polo is fancy. Like you do wear big hats.
I would do that. And only if Richard Gere took me though.
Richard Gere now or like 1980s Richard Gere? Because well, obviously, Richard Gere now has had a gerbil in his ass. It's a little different.
I feel like that is not true. I refuse.
I don't know. Someone should Snopes that. If someone Snopes that, can you hit us up on our Instagram or something and let us know if that actually happened?
Okay, so we'll go with the Richard Gere from the 1980s.
Okay.
He was a fox.
I can support that. So the cricket, they're again trying to push Robin on some guy and everyone's really uncomfortable and it just doesn't even look fun. Like it doesn't even look like they're enjoying themselves.
Ugh.
So they must go home and rest and then they go, they have like a final night dinner where they just have like what they call like a jammy jam party. And they talk about Michael Darby's dried pancake penis.
Yeah, that is so weird to me. Like, what is a dried pancake penis?
You know, I wish I knew. I don't even know what that's in reference to. I don't know if it's an ethnic slur for a white man, an Australian man. I don't know. I don't know anything. It makes no sense to me.
A pancake penis. I'm, like, trying to visualize it, and it's really freaking me out.
Yeah, I can't even imagine it. Like, it just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
So interesting, a little side note about Jillian and I. We went to the Sex Museum in Las Vegas.
Oh, God.
And we saw a lot of different penises there. Not one looked like a pancake.
No, some look like baseball bats.
Uh-huh.
Some look like cricket bats.
Elephant
None of
tires.
Them looked like pancakes.
Yeah.
That I could see. But if someone knows what a pancake dick is, let us know. Hit us up.
Like, yeah, send us a
we're
picture.
We're always down to learn something new. So.
For sure.
So they do. They all go around rapping, and the rapping is pathetic, and it's awful, and that's pretty much the end of Bermuda. Woo! They're out of Bermuda. It means the fucking plot is progressing forward.
Thank God.
So Robin goes to therapy, and she goes to the therapist, and she goes, I didn't do your homework, but guess what? I really love my ex-husband, and I don't want to date anymore, so I'm just going to tell my ex-husband that I love him.
Ugh, he's been dating.
Yeah, yeah. But now she's like, meh, I'm good. I'm just going to go back to my husband, so.
Fuck that.
We don't get to see how that plays out on this episode. It's in the preview for next episode, but.
No one cares. I don't even care.
I literally don't either. And then Ashley has her meeting, but we already discussed that. So then we get to the big reveal, the champagne room reveal, and they end up kind of commenting on this later, but like literally when I hear champagne room, I'm like, no sex in the champagne room.
Yeah.
No sex in the champagne. Like, that's, I'm not thinking of like a classy place where I go to have champagne. I'm thinking of strippers and Chris Rock.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Like you, I mean, people still say no sex in the champagne room.
Yeah. Like it was a very popular song that Chris Rock made and it was super catchy. And so now every time I hear champagne room, that's exactly what I hear. Like I don't hear anything else. That's it.
No, I'm right there with you. I agree.
So, like, before Karen gets there, all the girls are sitting around, and they're like, Karen already moved. Like, because, you know, you think back to Bermuda, like, Bermuda episode 17 or 18. I don't know which Bermuda episode it was.
So many.
You know, Karen was saying, oh, you know, I don't know what I want to do yet, blah, 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 blah. And then they get back from Bermuda, and she's moved. Different house. Doesn't live in Potomac anymore.
Because she was lying.
Because she's a liar. And she's, like, renting, and none of it makes sense to these girls. And these girls are like, what the fuck's happening? Why can't this girl just be real with us?
Maybe she had a short sale.
Well, I mean, that's definitely possible. So, like, she gets there, and they start kind of attacking her. And she's like, I'm moving to Great Falls as a test drive, and that's why I'm renting. If I don't like it, I'll build in Potomac, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what? Like, none of what you're saying makes sense. You're a shady motherfucker.
She is. I don't trust anything she says. Crypt Keeper, you are a liar.
So they open the champagne room. It's a very beautiful room. I don't see the purpose in it, honestly. Like, I get it. Like, I would see more, like, Heather Dubrow.
Oh, for sure.
Has, like, she has a champagne closet, and then in her closet has an area where she can sip champagne while she gets ready.
Yeah, that's perfectly that makes fine. Sense. Yeah.
Like a room that's the size of this recording studio we're in with four chairs and a wall of wine, champagne doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I mean,
seems like a waste of space.
I would drink champagne right now, but
yes,
it's not a champagne.
Yeah. So
I gotcha.
It just wasn't. It wasn't anything. It was very pretty. Wow. Like that's all. That's all I can say about it. Is like it was very pretty. So the preview for the season finale shows Ashley and Karen going at each other because clearly Karen doesn't have her shit together. Clearly Ashley doesn't have her shit together. They're just bitching out each other. You see what happens with Giselle and Kevin, the person her mom said that she can dump. You're going to see what's going to happen with Robin and Juan, whether Juan accepts what Robin wants or how he reacts to hearing she was supposed to go on a date. And then there's some kind of India party, and I literally just wrote down, what the fuck? Because I don't know what's happening. People are crying. I don't know why they're dressed like that. It's like, I guess it's a thematic party, but why? And it makes no sense.
These housewives and their theme parties are so ridiculous. Like, can't you just show up to a party and be fine?
You would think so, but like,
I'm down to party in my regular clothes.
I mean, come on. Like, I'm down for a good theme party.
Yeah.
But that one makes no sense to me at all. Like, I don't even understand. So I guess we'll have to tune in next week. Season finale, Potomac is on Sunday. We'll discuss it. We'll rehash it all next week. Hopefully there's no reunion. I can't even imagine what the reunion would be like. It would just be like, Charisse, Karen, co-hosting, nah.
It would just be one episode, and then we'd want to kill ourselves.
Yeah, like, seriously. So, again, if you're into Potomac, next week, season finale, we'll rehash it all next Thursday. So, since we missed last week, we now have two episodes of New York to catch up on, which is infinitely more interesting than Potomac.
Listen, I will talk about New York Housewives all damn day.
I mean, you can, because they actually give us something to talk about besides co-hosting.
Exactly.
So, the first episode that we're going to rehash is the one from 2 weeks ago, and it is called The Regency Reunion, which if you watch the episode, you know exactly what it's called that, and we'll hit that when we get there. So it all starts out with Carol and Tinsley having lunch together. Apparently they went to some society gala, a la Gossip Girl, called Winter Wonderland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which, their little flashbacks that they're doing this season, I don't like.
Like, why don't they just show us that stuff so we have, like, context?
Yeah, and, like, don't flashback and make it black and white.
Yeah, it's so strange, but, like, the whole point of this conversation is that Tinsley got a write-up in the Post for being a society it girl again. It literally reminded me of Gossip Girl. I was like, because, I mean, that's honestly where I was introduced to Tinsley Mortimer, was when she was, like, one of Serena's friends on Gossip Girl.
Right.
So
she has no relevance in this time period. It's so strange. She keeps talking about being a socialite and how she wants to be reintroduced. It's so weird to me. You're a woman. You're 40-something. You just walk out on the street and you live there. You don't need a party to be reintroduced. Like, that's weird to me.
Well, and the thing is, like, Carol keeps giving her all these suggestions. Dye your hair. Move out of the Upper East Side. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And Carol goes, the point is to reinvent yourself. Mm-hmm. Reinvent yourself. And I thought that was such a great point. It's like Tinsley is holding on so hard to the Upper East Side, to the blonde hair, to the curls, to the lashes, to a life that she used to live that doesn't even necessarily exist anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore. And can we talk about her fucking eyebrows? They drive me crazy. They, like, shoot off her face. There's no arch. It's very strange to me. You have money. Go get something done.
That's how she likes it. You know, she doesn't like change. I mean, we don't like change, but this girl doesn't like change. She won't brush her hair differently. Like, that's crazy.
And I thought that I had issues with change. I can brush my hair 20 different ways a day.
Yeah, no, she can't. She won't wear it differently. Like, she won't even put a low light in it. It's so crazy.
She needs low lights.
Well, that's what Carol was saying.
Because that bleach blonde look only looks good on Gwen Stefani.
Amen, sister. Amen. So then we go to Sonia's, and, like, she's packing. I feel like she's always packing. Why is she always packing? Can someone explain to me why Sonia is always packing?
Because she always wants to pretend like she's jet setting somewhere.
It's like just so crazy. And then she has this whole interaction with Frenchie where she's like,
oh, that was so weird.
Where she was like, you can't come into the bedroom until you call for me. Like, you need a walkie talkie. And, like, you can't just enter, which led me to believe, is he sleeping in a different bedroom?
I think the way she was talking is like her bedroom and bathroom are open floor plan on one floor.
Okay.
Yeah. So one floor, because Tinsley has her daughter's floor. So I was just wondering if, like, maybe she was going to the bathroom and he walked in and it was gross for him.
But, like, when you live with someone, like, I've lived with a man for, like, a long-ass motherfucking time, like, 8 years or something. Like, he can come into the bedroom anytime he wants. He can come into the bathroom. You have to, if it's something private, make sure the door is locked. Like,
no, I agree.
Like, yeah, the way she was talking to him was so condescending. It was like, you need to be like, sweetheart, are you ready for me to enter?
Yeah, no, like, she's ridiculous. This is not a real relationship. I don't know what it is, but it's ridiculous. And you need to get him out of your house, Sonia.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, later in the episode, she has dinner with Rocco, and it's so cute. And, like, I don't see why she's with Frenchie.
Right, she needs to be with Rocco, 100%.
So then the episode goes to Ramona, and she's, like, calling Avery and saying, we're going to have this party. And one note I wanted to share is I literally had that Bendel's phone case that Ramona has.
I know, I think.
And it irritates the hell out of me because Ramona is, like, has the worst fashion ever.
I know. When I saw it on this episode, I was like, oh my God, Jillian has that Bendel's cell phones case.
It's, like, awful. I just want to, like, take it and throw it at Ramona's head because Ramona is one of the most irritating human beings on the face of the earth, and I want nothing like her.
I agree. And you know what? So she's talking about her apartment, and she's like, I redecorated it all by myself. I don't believe she redecorated it.
Not even a little bit do I believe that.
No! She had someone come in and help her because there's no way she picked those pieces.
No. She has no sense at all. Like, look at the stuff she wears.
I know.
And in this episode particularly, look at that fucking ponytail. And we'll get more into detail into that ponytail.
Yes, we will.
Because
talk about
I rock a high pony like nobody's business.
It's true.
But, like, okay, we're going to table that.
Yeah,
but that's
we will talk about
that. Perfect example of, like, why, no, she didn't do this. There's not even a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go a little bit, and it's a little jumpy, but, like, Tinsley and her mom and their friend go home shopping, and they go to one apartment that's in the West Village, which is, like, the up-and-coming, like, it neighborhood in Manhattan, and then they go look at one that's on the Upper East Side, which is not as everything as it once was.
Right. But I did prefer the apartment on the Upper East Side. I thought it had bigger closets, it had nicer floors.
It had a shoe closet.
It had a shoe closet.
Which, I mean, is everything.
Yes.
And it had more character.
It did. I don't understand why Tinsley had a fucking meltdown about getting an apartment. She talks about how she has a job. I didn't know she had a real job.
I literally wrote that down. I was like, what kind of job? Like, her, whatever job she was describing, marketing or whatever, is not going to pay the $9,000 a month for either of those apartments.
She's absolutely using
family money. Uh-huh. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I don't understand. If you have family money, first of all, I wouldn't be living with crazy-ass Sonia in Grey Gardens. I would be moving into one of these glorious apartments and calling it a day. And
or, like her mom suggested, just move into a hotel.
For sure, yeah. You could do that. I mean, Bethany did that.
That's what I'm saying. If you're that upset with the rules of the place you're living, like, live somewhere else. Like, everyone has said to her, and that comes to a head in the second episode we'll discuss, she's 41 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Get your shit together. If you have the money, you have the means, you have the effort, get your shit together.
Yeah.
Like, don't just be like, I was in this traumatic experience.
Oh, God, I know. Yeah, like, get over it. There's a time to rise. Rise up, bitch.
Well, exactly. So, then we see a little glimpse of Carol and Adam, and Carol's getting this couch fixed that belonged to, like, the Kennedys, and
she needs to get that shit fixed.
Well, I mean, the cats have destroyed that shit. I mean, that couch has sailed, so.
But her saying, I'm gonna put tin foil on it to keep it, no, I don't want tin foil. I have two cats. They do not scratch because we bought this spray stuff that keeps them from scratching. I'm sure as hell not gonna have tin foil on my furniture.
Yeah, no, it makes no sense. But, like, it makes no sense like the relationship of Carol and Adam.
I just
don't know where they go from here.
I wrote that down, and she's talking about how she likes having her apartment back to herself, and, you know, she says that it sounds bitchy, but I don't think it sounds bitchy. I think it sounds sad. Because it's like, you usually want to come together with the person.
Yeah, yeah, and definitely. I mean, moving, that's like a huge step backwards, so.
It for sure is. So, I mean,
who even knows what will happen to those two. But then you flash into Bethany's apartment. She's trying to sell it. Frederick comes over. He's like, get rid of this bar. And she's like, my $40,000 bar?
I'm like, does this bar, like, pop up? you know, your skinny girl shit. $40,000.
And she like, she's so rich. She has no concept of money anymore.
Yeah.
So she says things like $10,000 moth removal and $40,000 bar, and it just comes out of her mouth and it's just casual. And I'm like, that's like a person's salary.
No, it absolutely is a person's salary, and it's a fucking bar. It doesn't do shit. It sits there in the corner.
Yeah, and I don't, honestly, I mean, I am not a million-dollar listing real estate agent, but I don't necessarily even agree with Frederick. I don't see why it has to come out, but that's just me.
I don't see why it has to come out either. I don't think it's hideous.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Some of these episodes lately, like, I liked the second episode that we're going to discuss because it was more thematic to one event. Mm-hmm. Some of these episodes are, like, so many. Like, they couldn't get all the girls to film together, so they just did a bunch of hodgepodge shit. Mm-hmm. So, in this episode also, Dorinda and Carol go to Washington for the Women's March.
Right. You were there for that.
I was. I went to both the inauguration and the Women's March because I am a connoisseur of history, and I'm not going to make this political at all, but, like, going to the Women's March was hideous. Like, I'm all for peaceful protest. I'm all for making a stand. I'm all for any of that. These women were incredibly disrespectful. They were so dirty. Like, they just left the streets of the Capitol covered in litter.
That's crazy.
I mean, none of that is political. That's just fact. And I find that to be really disturbing because that really lessens the message. It detracts from the message.
Right. And I mean, obviously, we're very passionate about women's rights, and we are not for Trump in any capacity. But don't be trashy. That's weird.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't like that. But so, I will say seeing them there moved me because I like to see women uniting. I like to see them coming together and fighting this cause. Many causes that are going.
It was many causes. There was no unified message at the Women's March.
So that part was moving. The interaction with Carol and, you know, oh my God. I can't think of her name.
Dorinda?
Thank you. Wow, what is happening to me, guys? It was all that Potomac talk. Just sucked it out of me. I thought that was nice.
I'm all for it. Like, and I don't have anything to say against them. Although I do think Hannah, Dorinda's daughter, is like on drugs or something. Because every time we see her, she's so out there. Like, isn't this so great? Like, this is so good. Like, she's like her mom, but like 100.
It was really, really, really strange. You're right. No, I think she could be on something.
My favorite part of the entire Woman March segment is we want a leader, not a creepy tweeter.
Oh my God.
I was like, that is it. I agree. Stamp. Like, that is the fucking message I am behind.
We're hashtagging that.
So while they're there, Sonia goes out to dinner with Rocco and she has to tell him about Frenchie.
Right, which I don't understand why she's telling him. She's not serious with Rocco.
No, but she should be. Like, I have written here is marry him. Marry him, Sonia, please.
I agree. She needs to get on that.
But, like, it's a very awkward conversation. And I don't know if you noticed this, but in this scene at the bakery with Rocco, her hair is awful. She has weird Farrah Fawcett bangs. And it's, like, yeah, awful.
I don't know what was happening. She's very hit and miss for me with her fashion. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, Sonia looks really good. And then sometimes I'll be like, oh, no.
Yeah, no. This was like, I was like, what is happening here? And they're in Hoboken, and I'm really confused as why they're in Jersey. And it's just like a whole thing. But, I mean, really, it seemed like.
It is strange.
It didn't really seem like anything happened. Like, Rocco was like, where do we go? And she was like, ha, I did kiss you on the mouth. And, like.
Yeah, and did you hear him say, I don't think I want to cheat again?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck does that mean? If a guy said, I don't think I want to cheat again, I'd be like, all right, peace out, thanks, this has been fun.
Yeah, but she's, like, living with another man.
Well, no, so, like, no, I get that, but for me, I'm just...
Yeah.
A guy says that to me, I'm like, mm-hmm, you need to leave me alone.
Yeah, no, I agree, but, like, Sonia's a totally, like, different specimen of human being.
That's true. She was like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, so...
It's in the Hallmark card.
Then we go to Ramona's apartment reveal, and I hate her fucking hair, and I love that everyone commented on it.
Her hair,
looked horrid.
She looked like her face was being pulled back. I don't know why she put it up. First of all, she had no extensions in her hair, so the ponytail was
super short.
Yeah, super short and super thin.
And it wasn't even high enough. It was kind of just back.
Yeah, like a gem ponytail.
Yeah, and like that's why Carol was like, Barbara Eden was 24.
Yeah, I definitely think the high ponytail is reserved for a different age group than Ramona. And also maybe someone who's prettier.
Yeah, because, I mean, I honestly, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I am trying to toot my own horn, let's be real. Beep, beep. But you have to have a face to pull off the high pony because you are just revealing all that face.
Yeah, it's your fucking face that's on display. You don't got the hair to soften it. Exactly. My
and
lord.
So, it just, I can't even, like, find the words to express how much I hated that hairstyle on Ramona. It looked awful, and I'm really glad that everyone agreed with me. Every single person at the party was like, oh, your hair, it's so edgy.
Yeah, and she thought she was the shit that night.
Oh, God, she thought she was on fire, and I was like, oh, God, someone grab the water, put it out.
It's going to be my new favorite thing, by the way.
One of the guests at the party is Harry Dubin. You'll all remember Harry Dubin as Aviva Drescher's ex-husband.
Right, but he's also had sex with
Sonia,
Ramona.
Kelly Bensimone.
That's right, Kelly Bensimone. So Bethany and Tinsley
now.
Oh, and Luann.
He proposed to Sonia and then left with Luann.
That's right. So basically the only ones who have not rode the Harry train are Bethany and Tinsley, although Tinsley knows him and has known him for a long time, and they had a flirtation. So I was just like, are you just lying to us, Tinsley? You totally hit that.
Yeah, I think she did. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe she didn't. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. He is older than her.
I won't. She's a psycho.
She's a little bit of a
She's
psycho.
Dating a 23-year-old right now and asked if she could feed him like a baby bird.
You're right. Point taken.
Okay.
Point taken.
This bitch would do Harry.
So, Luann walks into the room with Tom, and they could cut to an interview segment, and she's like, it's just so nice now that we're married to walk in a room where everyone is so happy for us. And I'm like, what fucking deluded room are you walking into?
Yeah, no one's happy
for
you.
No one is happy for you. Like, no one was happy for you before you got married just because you're married now? No. No.
Yeah, everyone's talking shit about you guys behind your back, and everybody knows that Tom's a fucking cheater.
Well, exactly, and a funny aside while this is going on is there's this, like, interview with Bethany, because obviously Bethany was invited to the party and didn't go.
Right.
And it's got Ramona, and she's like, oh, I invited Bethany, and Bethany's like, RSVP, nope, we're not friends. And Ramona's like, I think it was progress that she RSVP'd, no. And I was like, oh my God, that's so fucking Ramona, but.
Yeah, Bethany was just being respectful and doing what you're supposed to do with an RSVP.
I know, it was so funny, but, so at this party, Ramona, shit stirrer extraordinaire, has invited her one friend that found out that she was no longer dating Tom when she walked in on Tom and Luann.
Missy.
And it's so awkward.
That name doesn't even sound like it belongs to a woman.
No, it doesn't. Like,
Missy?
Missy, yeah. It was so awkward. And, like, Tom's like, you've met Luann at the Regency. And we all know that's where Tom got caught cheating. Uh-huh. That's where he met Luann. Like, that's where he did his dirty and does his dirty. So it was just, like, so incredibly awkward. And then Missy and Harry go off to the side and have this really awkward conversation. Harry's like, he pushed you into a bathroom, didn't he? Like,
I know. He's been watching the Cosby trial. He's the prosecutor. He pushed you into the bathroom. He kissed you on the lips, didn't he? Yeah, Harry got up in the drama, which I found to be hysterical.
I know, I loved it. I was like, Harry Dubin needs to be a housewife. Like, I'm about it. Like,
I love that he was the drama queen that night. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, so, and then you see this really awkward exchange where Luann takes Tom to the side, and she's like, who is this woman?
Yeah.
And he explains it, and he goes, oh, she's happy for us, and she's like, oh, okay. Yeah, like, that's what she accepts as, like, validation.
Yeah, and I'm sure Missy never was like, oh, I'm so happy for them. No,
she was dating Tom until she, like, saw Tom and Luann together. Like,
and what the hell is wrong with him? Why couldn't he just break up with someone? Like, why couldn't he just call her, text her?
Why is he the ladies' man about town anyway?
Well, that is an excellent question.
He's, like, 4 feet tall, bald.
That's true.
And, like, a mama's boy.
He's not attractive at all. You're right. That is a really good point and a really great question. I don't know.
So, we don't need to talk about the preview because we've watched the next episode.
Yay!
A Bronx Tale. So,
I love the way the ladies, so they meet in this restaurant in the Bronx, how they talk about the Bronx. Like, it's this mystical, magical land that they haven't been to since they were children. And it's just so funny how they're like, oh, the Bronx. Yeah, I haven't been here.
It's really funny. So, yeah. Like, my family's from the Bronx. So, like, that's where my people are from. But these ladies are acting like it's not just another borough of New York City.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's another, like, country.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's, like, this mystical land.
And so, yeah, like, Bethany invites everyone out of their comfort zone of Manhattan to the Bronx to go to this pizza place, which looks excellent, by the way. I'm, like, totally down. I want to go.
Right, that pizza looks so good.
Like, they just kept showing the pizza, and I was, like...
I know, I was like, I
want watching this, and starving, and I was like, ugh.
No, seriously, I wanted that pizza for sure. So Bethany did a solid and hooked them up with some good food.
Yeah, and so Dorinda comes, she's hungover.
I love that she rallied, though.
She's, like, hysterical. She's like, I mean, I just love Dorinda. But then Tinsley comes, and she's, like, in this fucking tea dress. She's in a fucking tea dress because she's so used to the Upper East Side that she's like, oh, we're mm-hmm. ladies for lunch. We're going to tea. We're going to the Four Seasons, not like but an like, outer borough to go to a pizza joint.
But you can't wear fucking nice pair of pants and a cute top on the Upper East Side. I mean,
you can though. That's what Ramona wears. You see Sonia wearing it.
Bethany, yeah, like. So I'm just like Tinsley, get your shit together. You look atrocious. And I also want to talk about her outfit in the therapist's office, but we'll wait till we get there.
Yeah. We'll get everywhere.
Yeah, we're gonna hit it all.
So they start talking about Vermont, and Bethany kind of says it's okay to invite Ramona, like, I'll just be civil, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, it's, but the, I love that they do this flashback, because they're big on the flashbacks this year, mm-hmm. where she's like, you had sex on a waterbed, and I just love that that's the scene they always uh-huh. go to. Like, that's such an egregious thing. I've had sex on a waterbed. Like, I used to have waterbed, so.
Like, oh my god. Like, I will say that I have also had sex on a waterbed.
So, like.
So, it's. I don't know, like, what that
so
means.
Funny that that's what you. Like, you had sex on a waterbed. I'm pretty sure I was conceived on a waterbed. Like, let's
oh,
be real.
God. My so lord. Like, no, but seriously, does waterbed sex make you a slut? Because I was in a very serious committed relationship with the person I had sex with.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So I don't understand. What does that mean?
I can't answer that question, but I love that that takes like a turn and they start talking, like Sonia starts accusing Dorinda of being involved in the tipsy girl scandal
last
season.
Oh my gosh.
Season.
That was hysterical. And Dorinda was not having it.
Not
yeah.
at all. She was like,
show
so incensed
yeah.
that she would be accused of being part of it. And then just like her reaction, clip.
What does that mean? Does that mean shut the fuck up?
That is like the fucking, I want a shirt that just says clip. Mm-hmm. I want that to be my ringtone when assholes call me. It just
yes.
says clip.
When she was doing that, I was busting up laughing. I was looking at Bethany. She was busting up laughing. And she was talking about the clip
no.
thing too.
And she's like crazy. And then she gets up from the table and she's like the hostess with the mostest, and she hits her groin like she's got a penis.
Like a wrestler. Like what
yeah.
wrestler used to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh my god.
What? And then she walks away and I'm like, oh, that was a way to make an exit. But then she comes back.
I
thought she was done. I thought the hostess from the mostest, groin hit, done, out, clip, done. But then she like goes out.
Oh my god.
And they come back and then they start talking about the Berkshires again. And I'm like, what? Why are we talking about this?
Sonia cannot let go of the fact that she was not invited, what was this, 2 seasons ago
now? Yeah, I think so.
To the fucking Christmas party at Dorinda's at the Berkshires. Get the fuck over it.
Like, it's so done. And then, like, the last insult to injury as they're going out, they're apologizing to these little old men that are sitting around this table. And
oh, God.
Like, Carol's like, sorry, we were so loud. And they're like, that's okay. You look like Melania Trump.
Oh, God.
And Dorinda's like, she accepts your compliment and tries to just, like, get Carol out as quickly as possible. Like, Melania's not ugly. Like, I can't put the sins of Donald Trump on Melania. Like,
no, she doesn't want to be the first lady.
She does not want to be the first lady. That is for damn sure. And she just, you know, she made her way to this country and made her way to the top. That is what she did, and I will give her all the credit for that.
I will say, I don't think Melania Trump's that attractive. I don't feel like she's this showstopper by any means.
I don't think so either.
But I don't think that Carol is so attractive either.
No.
But I will also say to you, I don't think they look anything alike.
They most definitely do not.
So I was like, if some guy said that to me, I'd be like, you can fuck yourself.
Yeah, it was like a weird thing. So like, it's just, you know, they got out of the situation. So then we go to Tinsley at therapy.
Oh.
She's wearing the high-necked
ruffle shirt, and the long
with
skirt.
Like a, yeah, and it has like a choker on it.
She's got nylons on too.
Yeah.
Like, what in the
she's
hell?
She's like all Upper East Side, but like Upper East Side of 1995.
Yes, and I just want to...
Like, when you watch the original, like, season 1, season 2 of Sex and the City, the girl with the
yes.
scrunchie in the bar,
yes.
that's like the Upper East Side that Tinsley is like channeling.
Yes, and they wore nylons out because,
yeah.
you know, it's not fucking cool. You I wear nylons when I have to. Let's be real here, people.
And it's just like this whole therapy session is so weird because Tinsley's like, I need to drink a lot to sleep. But drinking is not a problem for me. But
no, that is a problem.
No, she's an alcoholic. That's what she described.
Yeah, if you have to drink to get through the day, to sleep, to just live life, you've got a problem.
Yeah,
with alcohol.
Definitely. Definitely. And she talked about her dad had a problem. And I was like, this is like textbook to me.
Yeah, it was really sad too. And I felt really sad about it. And then the therapist is just sitting there. He's not interjecting at all. People, I've been in therapy. You need a fucking therapist to interject. You need a therapist to say, okay, hush it. Let me tell you. That's what they're there for. He looked creepy to me as well. I'm like, who is this guy? He does not look like he has a doctorate in psychology. He was like wearing a black turtleneck.
Yeah, he was. It was a little strange. So, like, I don't think anything got accomplished through that therapy session.
No, just she told us her dirty laundry, which I appreciate.
Yeah, but she didn't. She didn't tell, like, she keeps saying she was in this abusive relationship.
Right.
And I don't want to downplay that. I'm sure there was all kinds of levels of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that she didn't trespass. Like, I think her arrest was probably pretty valid.
I think it was one of those domestic violence situations where it was not just one person.
Right.
It was played out on both parts.
Yeah, and I think that's common and something that's not really a light not shined on.
You're absolutely right. And just because you are a perpetrator doesn't mean that you are not also the victim.
Right, absolutely.
So I think that she needs to acknowledge that, and I think it could open a lot of doors for discussion.
I just wish she would say a little more about it because she has a platform now where she could help others who are in that situation. And like that's, you know, when we get into the last dinner kind of the episode, they're kind of telling her that. They're like, we've all been there.
Yeah.
So like she just needs to open up. So I don't think anything that was accomplished in therapy.
No.
We next go to Luann, Ramona, and Sonia having dinner together. And I literally want to smack the shit out of Ramona Singer all the time. Like, every time she comes on screen, she just says the most obnoxious thing that makes me want to kill her. Like, I just, like, don't want to go to Vermont. I want to go to Aspen because it's the best of the best of the best of the best. And she does, like, the squinty eye thing. And I was like, oh, my God, can I just reach through the screen and choke her?
They have the best snow. They have the best mountains. They have the best hotels. And they have the best men.
And then she, like, squinted. Like, hee-hee.
Shut the fuck up.
God. And then Sonya's like, Dorinda's not our friend. Like,
what is that?
I was like, no, she's your friend. We've seen it play out. Like, we've even seen flashbacks where she was having lunch with Jill Zarin. Like, she's been there. So you can't say she's not your friend.
I love how, was it Sonya? Yeah, Sonya who said, oh, she's not a friend like we're friends because we've all slept with the same man. I was like,
and then Luann gets pissed.
But you know what? I busted up laughing when I was watching it. I was like, that is the most hysterical thing I've ever heard. Like, I feel like that's something you and I would laugh about.
100%.
About if something like that happened between you and I.
You know, that was what I took away from the scene. I was like, Luann, this is always going to be out there.
Yeah,
it happened on a fucking major television show, nationally broadcasted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone knows. It's always out there. Laugh at it.
That's
what I'm saying. Don't take yourself so fucking seriously.
And when you're having...
This is my husband now. Take that back. Take that back. Apologize. Take it back.
I know. And when you're sitting at a table with Sonia and Ramona and they've had sex with your husband. They've had sex with other guys you've dated. That's something to laugh about that you are like this weird incestual group that can't have a man of your own.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So the whole thing gets really tense with Luann and blah, blah, blah. And so... I mean, that was essentially what I took away from it. And then it's time to go to Vermont.
Yes.
And let me say, Vermont, it was very, I mean, I've never been to Vermont, but what they showed us, it was very beautiful. The cabin was, like, really beautiful.
I thought it was very nice. I think it would be comparable to Aspen.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Aspen either, but I've been to ski resorts, I've been to Mammoth, I've been to Tahoe, and it looked like the same. Like, it's all the same.
I want
to
go to Aspen.
I'll go anywhere. Really. Like, I'm just down to go. I'll go to Sacramento. I'll go wherever.
We do not need to go to Sacramento.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to see there. I don't know. I mean, I've been to Sacramento.
I've been to Sacramento many a time, and there's nothing to see there.
So, Ramona texts Bethany before they go, and they get on the same page about not being friends.
Yeah, with her awkward, weird sending half of a text at a time.
Yeah, like, it's so weird. Somehow, Dorinda has made it to Vermont without any luggage at all.
I know.
Because she had to get some nookie, and it got her so happy, she forgot to pick up her suitcase.
I mean, that's some good sex if you're forgetting your suitcase.
Well, that's what I mean, that's literally what I wrote down. That's some good action. Like, if you forget to bring your clothes on vacation.
I mean,
she keeps saying, I'm going to get an Uber to get my clothes.
I know, because she's like, it's at the Berkshires on my porch. So she's going to have an Uber guy pick up her shit in the Berkshires and then drive to Vermont.
What state is the Berkshires in? This is going to sound really ignorant, and I apologize, but I'm really terrible at geography, and I have no idea what
state. Isn't it New York?
It could be. It could be Massachusetts as well.
Oh, shit. I don't know.
Hey, Surrey. Where are the Berkshires?
Real life, people. Happening now.
It's happening right now. We're going to figure it out. Nope. That's my address. We're not going to talk about that, Surrey. Thank you.
Surrey did not fucking help us, guys.
But I do live on a street called Nantucket, and that is in Massachusetts, so maybe it was a sign. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
So Ramona gets, before Ramona and the rest get there, Carol's like, Dorinda, you always get screwed out of a room. Let's go pick your room. Even though you have no luggage, let's go pick your room. So they just dump her purse out, essentially, on the bed.
And yeah, and she plugs in her charger, which is hysterical.
So Ramona and Sonia and Tinsley get there, and Ramona walks in. And while Ramona walks in, Bethany's on the phone with her daughter, and Ramona just automatically just starts criticizing, like, what kind of wine do we have? Oh, with a skinny girl? Like, it's okay. I don't know. Like, and Bethany's like, I can fucking hear you. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, and if you don't want skinny girl, fine. But, I mean, I don't think I've ever had skinny girl wine.
I don't think so either.
I feel like now that we're doing this podcast, we need to have skinny girl. Why would we do a podcast one of these times?
Down. We'll taste test. I have some skinny girl margarita in my wine fridge right now.
Done and done. But she's so rude. Like, she's just being obnoxious on purpose.
Yeah, no, it's, well, she is, and then they get into, the room search, which is always crazy with these girls.
Why? Why does it always have to be an ordeal? Like, I would never want to travel with them.
Like, literally, when Ramona goes up to Carol, and she's like, why would you give Dorinda the big room when you know we'd like to share? Like, why would you do it? I'm just like, I'm not trying to be mean, but, like, why would you do that?
And Carol is dumbfounded. She's like, I don't know. And she's like, okay, you're tired. No, she wasn't tired.
No, she just, like, got her friend a good room. Because you bitches are crazy. And then, like, you know, Ramona and Luann are playing ping pong. And Luann has been kind of stuck with the last room. And they're playing ping pong. And Ramona's, like, bemoaning the rooms again.
Ugh.
And Ramona's like, I don't know why, like, everyone feels this way, but I'm not malicious. And then they just literally flash back to every malicious thing Ramona said to Luann since, like, 2010.
Which is hysterical, and I loved it.
I was like, and Luann's like, uh-huh. Like, Ramona is fucking nuts.
I loved that flashback, though, when she was like, it was like someone shooting off a gun. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. I loved it. It was crazy, because Ramona is crazy. So, speaking of Ramona being crazy, while they're getting ready, apparently Ramona directs Sonia to go get her water. Like, Sonia's her fucking slave or some shit.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I'd be like, no, bitch.
And there's no bottled water in this house for some reason. There's just some lime sparkling seltzer water that's in a can. And Sonia's going to lie to Ramona and tell her that it's bottled water. So she just gets it and brings it in and is like, oh, I got some bottled water. Oh, the lid's really hard to get off. And Ramona's like, I prefer mountain water anyway. So Sonia just leaves the room, comes back in with the same goddamn water, gives it to Ramona, and she's like, this is delicious.
Which is so good. It's so stupid. I feel like you could give her tap water from Sacramento, and she would be like, this is delicious if you told her it was mountain water.
Legitimately, like, it was so crazy. And then while this is going on, the only two people that are ready for dinner are Bethany and Tinsley.
Mm-hmm.
And they're downstairs, and they're chatting about boys, and Tinsley comes out with this, I don't want a waspy boy.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, you are so obsessed with the Upper East Side.
That's all that's up there.
Like,
white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Yeah,
like, you're not going to find anything else. What do you expect to find? You need to branch out at least to, like, the West Village or to Chelsea or to Tribeca or some other area of Manhattan.
Right, and she's always talking about how she wants a hard worker. Well, these WASPy guys all have trust funds, so no, they're not going to be hard workers.
No, exactly.
And they're going to be little playboys for a long fucking time.
No, 100%. So, like, they just have this, like, offhanded chat, and then they start moving over to dinner, and Carol's actually on time for dinner, which is a nice change of pace, because Carol's the one that's, like, known for being 2 hours late for dinner.
Which is obscene.
You know, and Sonia and Ramona are still getting ready, because they only have one sink. They only have one sink, people! They cannot fucking function with one sink. Let me tell you, the house that I lived in before we moved into this house last year, the master bedroom only had one sink. And there were times when my husband and I both had to get ready at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was a pain in the ass. But we did not arrive anywhere 40 minutes late because we, like, couldn't brush our teeth at the same time.
Right. And also, I mean, you and I and our other really best friend have stayed in hotel rooms where we've had one fucking sink with three girls.
One toilet, one shower. Yeah. Like, we make it work.
We've gotten our shit done.
Like, so that's just mystifying to me that Ramona can even sit down at the table and be like, sorry, we had one sink, we're an hour late.
Yeah, she's stupid.
Like, it's insane. Mm-hmm. So while everyone else is coming and congregating, Bethany drops a bomb. We're going to redo the Mexico trip that we canceled last year. And Luann is invited this time. It's not like where Luann and Bethany went and they sat down at dinner and Luann was just talking and talking and talking and walked away thinking she was invited when in actuality she was never invited.
Oh my God, that conversation was hysterical. I forgot about that. And Bethany was like, I didn't even say a word to her. Like, she just talked at me.
Yeah, and so she's actually invited this time. But then she starts complaining about the room, and she's like, I just got married. I should have been given the nice room as a courtesy.
Yeah, like, what the fuck does that mean?
And then she, like, goes on to even further, there was a strange man in my bathroom. I think one of the chefs was using my bathroom.
Oh, heaven forbid.
I know. I was like, oh my God, this bitch is crazy. She really is a countess. Like, come on. And then I just, like, got, like, Bethany was like, come on, we all know you used to, like, random men in your bathroom. Like,
that was hysterical.
You used to live for that shit.
She did.
And then, so, like, once everyone gets to the table, once Rona and Sonia get there, like, 40 minutes later, everyone just kind of starts lighting into Tinsley.
Right.
Like, Sonia essentially says, you live in my house, you live under my rules, you wanted your reputation to be better, so that's why I took you in. Which, by the way, who the fuck is Sonia to rehab anyone's reputation?
She is not. She's Grey. She's the queen of Grey Gardens, first of all. She's got fucking random Frenchie living with her. She's not pursuing a good relationship with Rocco, which she should be doing. She's a nut.
Yeah. No, it's like crazy. It's like crazy to me that would be the solution. Like, Sonia's going to make everything better. No. Like, she has no reputation to help you save your reputation.
No.
But everyone keeps telling Tinsley, you gotta move on. We've all been in instances. Mm-hmm. She's like, you don't understand. This just happened to me. I'm very affected. And everyone's like, no, we understand. We've all been there. And even, like, especially Bethany is like, no, I get it.
Well,
like, I've been there.
And Bethany is in it still.
And Tinsley's like, yeah, but, like, mine was more public. Let's be real here.
Bitch, please.
I want you to know, like I said earlier in the episode, before Tinsley was a cast member on Real Housewives, I knew her from one episode of Gossip Girl.
Exactly. She was just essentially Upper East Side, spoiled little rich girl who liked to go out and drink.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know she got arrested. I didn't know anything about that. I knew every detail of Bethany's sordid affair. So don't say, like, it was so public, because Bethany's was way more public. And it's still happening.
Exactly. I mean, my God. And let's also say that Bethany shares a child with this man. So her situation is so much more extreme, so much more volatile, and so much more emotional. This man that she got arrested for trespassing, Tinsley, you never have to see him again. Bethany will always have a connection to fucking Jason.
Yeah.
She can't escape that. Like, short of him being put in prison and him losing custody, she can't escape that.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that's, again, still happening. Like, he just had an arraignment and all this stuff and extra charges. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's not in that episode. But, I mean, that's kind of where they leave it, is where everyone's, like, telling Tinsley, like, no, we get it, but you need to move on. And Tinsley's just having a mental breakdown. So they show us a preview for this next episode, and they show them skiing, which looks, like, predictably hilarious.
Right.
They talk about John's penis, which is apparently cucumber size. That's what Dorinda chose to show us.
He's so gross.
They talk about the age they first started having anal sex.
That's weird, too. I mean,
I've never asked that question of anyone, by the way.
No, no one's ever asked me that either, and I've never asked someone that either. I didn't even know that was something.
No, I didn't know that. Just like, and what about you and anal? Like,
yeah, I mean, like, all of our girlfriends, we're very open and we talk about this kind of stuff, but I don't think, no one's ever been like, so when was your first anal? What?
No one ever. I don't know. I can't. I'm speechless. I'm not much for speechlessness, but.
Yeah.
Then, you know, of course, they're going to talk about Tom some more, because there's only Tom. There's always ever Tom. And then they're going to talk about Jason's arrest. So. so.
But it did look like Dorinda was calling out Luann and saying, all know what Tom did. And she was always on the Tom and Luann
boat. Oh, 100%, because she set them up. And even after he was caught cheating, she was, even after, like, they tried to bribe Dorinda to lie for them.
Yeah.
Like, so that seems very interesting. I'm super intrigued. That's going to be much better to talk about than the season finale of Potomac. I guarantee it.
I'm really excited. So, all right, guys. Well, that about wraps up our third episode. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, go subscribe to our podcast and rate it with 5 stars. Yes, we are 5-star ladies. And thank you for all the listeners out there that have already done so. And thanks. We'll talk to you guys next week.
And where can they find us?
Oh, yes. So you can find us on Instagram at Pretty Vulgar Podcast. You can find us at Twitter at Pretty and Vulgar. We don't use Twitter that much. We're still trying to figure it out. Be patient with us, people.
It's a strange universe out there.
Twitter is very strange. I don't get it. And our Facebook is the Pretty Vulgar Podcast. So get in contact with us if you would like to. So thanks, guys.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.